perfect.
Good evening, everyone. It's the Hoax Busters Live, Saturday night. And we're going to go through our typical protocol and what we do here. We want to thank Speak Free Radio for having us on. And we're on for 2 hours every Saturday night. And hopefully we'll get some people to jump in the conversation. We like to get people to come in really the second hour, more so, because we cover certain things in the first hour. And hopefully we'll might even have some people in that hour too, but I'm not sure yet. Again, we're not that organized here that we have everything down to a minute of what happens with our show. We just kinda,
I think you mean regimented.
Yeah, we kind of go with the flow, as they say. So, but there is a lot to talk about. If worst comes to worst, I just go into the things we've been doing, the things we've been putting up on the website, on the BitChute channel, and we go from there. So we're going to start off like we usually do. Diane is still finishing up her book here, the 6 Million Fact of Fiction. As you can see, it's right behind me over there. Oh. And Diane, you could tell us where we are in the book.
Yep.
All right. And then you can start covering it. And how's that?
Yep. Kitty's over here. I've got to get her off the table so I can read. There you go.
Okay.
Okay. She's a little bit needy. Chapter 11. Just want to make sure here. Yep. Okay. The Auction Reinhardt camps. It's a real, it's sort of a short chapter. They were unknown for decades. Operation Reinhardt, or in German, Auction Reinhardt, is the name popularly given to the camps of Belzec, Sobibor, and Treblinka, established in the far east of Poland following the Wannsee Conference's decision to implement a mass removal of the Jews to the east. Auction Reinhardt was named after Fritz Reinhardt. He's a state secretary in the finance ministry. He was the one who drew up the logistical plan by which the property of Hus Jews, who had been deported to the east as planned by the Wannsee Conference, was collected and sent back to the Reich finance ministry. The Holocaust storytellers have seized upon the near total destruction of the three camps to claim that they were the most deadly of the extermination camps. Additionally, the camps at Kelmo and Majdanek are often added to the list of Reinhardt camps, even though they predate the program. Although Auschwitz dominated the extermination program for many years, the thorough debunking of that camp's facilities has forced the Holocaust storytellers to claim vast numbers of deaths in the alleged extermination camps of Auschwitz Reinhardt to compensate for the ever-diminishing number of Auschwitz victims. Gotta keep that number up. For many years, the Auschwitz Reinhardt camps remained shrouded in secrecy and were largely unknown. Survivor testimonies range from the plausible to the absolutely outrageous, and the claimed methods of execution varied from electrocution, drowning, chlorine gas, unidentified toxic fluids, mobile gas chambers, railroad cars sprinkled with quicklime, steam chambers, vacuum death chambers, the Zyklon B cyanide gassing. The number of Jews killed also varied greatly. Death tolls for Treblinka, for instance, varied between 3,870,000, Sobibor between 2,250,000, and Belzec between 3,600,000. The vast differences in the number of deaths claimed 8 million versus 1.7 million should in itself be a major cause for concern, yet discrepancies such as these are routinely ignored by the Holocaust storytellers. The Hefle telegram. We've talked about this before. a document released by the Public Record Office in Kew, England in 2000, of course, if it's coming from England, it must be true, helped shed light on the real number of Jews transported to the Reinhardt camps. And maybe oddly, at some point, they are true. Known as the Hitler telegram, this document was a German communication sent in January 43 from Hermann Hefle in occupied Poland to Adolf Eichmann in Berlin, and it was intercepted by British intelligence. It is worth mentioning that there is no original Hefle telegram in existence. It was a radio intercept, and the printed document that exists today is a British intelligence transcript typed up by a British agent, and no doubt typed and retyped and retyped. But it was supposedly to provide exact figures for all deportations to the Reinhardt camps, which it identified by their initials up to and including the end of 42. And so it had, these were supposedly Madonik, 24,000, Belzec, 434,000, Sobibor, 101,000, Treblinka, 713,000. It gives a total of 1.2 million, a figure that is now most often claimed as the number of victims of the four camps. The Holocaust storytellers have claimed that the Hoechsler telegram proved mass murder. However, it does not. It merely provides an indication of the number of Jews moved to the East for labor and resettlement purposes, as detailed at the Wannsee Conference. Problems with gassing by diesel. We've had discussions of this before. And the primary issue with all the Reinhardt camps is the method of execution claimed to have been used. While the story of Zyklon B cyanide gas is widely recognized and propagated by the media as the principal method of killing Jews during World War II, much less attention is given to the claim that carbon monoxide gas was used in all the Reinhardt camps. 2 million Jews were killed in the Reinhardt camps, almost all of them by carbon monoxide produced by diesel engines. Again, this is what he's presenting. He hasn't debunked it yet. If carbon monoxide was the primary method used to kill Jews during the war, why is this not more widely recognized by the public? That's the number one question. Why has the emphasis consistently been on Zyklon B? Why was diesel gas not considered a viable number one reason? Okay, let's see. The answer to this is evident, but overlooked question is straightforward. As any chemist will attest, gassing with diesel fumes is nearly impossible, except under the most extreme conditions. Multiple tests have demonstrated that an hour's exposure to diesel fumes in a confined area only results in nausea and headaches in humans. That's going to really cut down on their numbers. The issue first became publicly known in 1992 when Walter Lüftel, the president of the Austrian Federal Chamber of Engineers, published a paper titled Holocaust, Beliefs and Facts. Drawing on his expertise as an engineer and chemical specialist, Lüftel concluded that mass murder with diesel exhaust is a sheer impossibility. Again, there go the numbers. Now they're going to have to seek for a better scenario. Lüftel further highlighted what the Holocaust writers seem to have missed is the fact that diesel engines are especially ill-suited for the efficient production of carbon monoxide. He stated that the diesel-filled airtight chambers would take longer to kill individuals than normal asphyxiation. So what does this translate to do in simple terms? It denotes that no one can be gassed with diesel exhaust. All you come out with is a headache, basically. The individuals who would otherwise perish quickly would likely live longer as a result of gassing with diesel exhaust due to its elevated oxygen content. It actually had higher oxygen content than the other forms of gassing could have been. This implies that the diesel engine is not appropriate for rapid killing, assuming it can be done at all. According to the Holocaust storytellers, gassing with carbon monoxide at the Reinhardt camps always concluded within 30 minutes. They always say this, at least, at the most. This would necessitate carbon monoxide levels to be at least twice as high, a situation that under typical conditions is nearly unattainable. This would compel the diesel engines to operate at elevated speeds for excessively extended periods, would exhaust vast quantities of valuable fuel, and would result in frequent malfunctions. That's always the problem, whether it's the gas chambers or the crematory. Constant overuse resulting in frequent malfunctions. Now, the next section is on Jewish police in German-occupied Poland. One important issue to address is the fact that Jewish...
Have you finished? That's all it says about the Action Reinhardt camps?
No, this is still part of the Action Reinhardt camps.
Okay. I'll talk about some things.
Oh, you can if you want, and I'll continue this next topic.
Well, I mean, I just want to say that these camps, you don't hear people talking much about them because these camps were before Auschwitz, 1941. So anyway, they were in Poland, right? And they were before Auschwitz, and they were completely done away with. So there's nothing there. So they make up.
Yeah.
What they did is they just, again, these were transit camps because they're in Poland on the way to Soviet Union, right near the Soviet Union on that side. And so that's why they had to have these camps there. So once the Soviets started to move in, they had to get rid of these camps, and you know, because they were transit camps and they didn't need them anymore. The Soviets are coming in. We got to get the hell out of there. And so, but they bring up a story that they have to have to say that, you know, the people were being sent to these camps to be killed. But they weren't sent there to be killed. They were sent there to, you know, be transited all the way through the system.
Yeah.
You know, but it had to stop because of the fact that now the Soviets are coming and we got to get out of there. Mm-hmm. So then they come up with the big story. So they had to invent a story to tie in with Poland. And the story, you know, they just come up with a beauty. They claim that, you know, Treblinka, Sobibor, you know, Belzec, Medonic, these are the camps that were in Poland.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they claimed that a couple million people were killed in these camps with no proof. There's no proof that this happened. There's no bodies anywhere. There's nothing to show this happened. Treblinka is probably the biggest one out of the camps to deal with because that's the one they make a big deal about. And so now they say in Treblinka, remember, these people are just in a transit camp. And we have people even talking about this, saying that they were transited through Treblinka. So you know it wasn't an execution camp because why would the hell would you have them being transited through Treblinka if you're going to kill them? It wouldn't make any sense. Why would anybody be alive? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they come up with the story that we got to come up with some story. And so at first they said they were using diesel gas to kill them. They actually had one before that too. They said that they were steaming them. They were using steam to kill them in the camps. And then another thing they said that they were taking all the air out of the room and suffocating them. So every little thing that they said happened just got, you know, blown away to show it was a big lie. And so the last thing they came up with was the diesel. And they said, we use the diesel gas and I think they said they got diesel engines from submarines or some stupid
Soviet submarines. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, they said that was the last thing that was used, which is complete nonsense because diesel gas can't kill you. So the point is the whole camp systems there were completely just done away with. They were just torn down or whatever happened to them. But there was no gas chambers in any of them. There was nothing found in any of them to show large amounts of people that died in them. I mean, there's nothing there. But the story, you know, since there's nothing there, you can make up any story you want. And that's just what they did. And here's the funny part about it, okay? If Treblinka, because I want to just concentrate on Treblinka, because this is where they claim around 900,000 people were killed, all right? And then they were buried, okay? They were killed, they were buried, then they were dug up, and then they threw them on fire pyres, you know, grates, and they put wood underneath them and burned all the bodies. It's just so silly to see people can believe this, and then they dump the ashes in graves somewhere or whatever. But there's nothing there to prove it. They can't prove anything. They haven't found any bodies. Plus the places where they say the bodies are buried, they won't let you dig it up to look there to investigate it. So they have a great system here. Oh, yeah, 950,000 people were killed there, and we burnt all the bodies, and we got them all down to ash. But we can't show you where all that is. And that's it. Mm-hmm. So anyway, again, now we go to Auschwitz. Everything is transferred to Auschwitz. Okay, so you would think that Auschwitz would do it the same way they did it there, right? If they were killing people. No. Auschwitz now, they bring the story in and they're killing people with Zyklon B. And they changed the whole story. In other words, they knew the Zyklon, they knew the diesel gas story was complete nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Complete nonsense. And so now gee, we lost that one. So now what are we going to say happened in Auschwitz? Okay, let's think of Zyklon B. We're going to say people will be in gas with Zyklon B.
Because it was already there.
Yeah, so it's just a fumigant. Okay, so they had the product there. So now what they do, they just got to change what it was used for. And they want to change it. That, oh, we're using it to kill people. When, yeah, there was a lot of Zyklon B there, you know, but they were using it for fumigation, for disinfecting all the buildings and all this stuff. So the Zyklon B story became the story now. So now that's what people believe, that Zyklon B was used to kill the people. And again, you can't kill people with Zyklon B, like, especially in the time frame they say that they did. They said these people were killing in 5 or 10 minutes in gas chambers in Auschwitz now. So anyway, okay, so I just wanted to throw that out there because it's something that doesn't exist. It didn't happen. No proof of it, no bodies, no nothing, but you're going to hear all the stories, and it's going to go on and on and on. They make movies about this. There was a movie made called Escape from Sobibor, because that was one of the camps, Treblinka, Sobibor, Belzec, Chełmno, whatever, and that had that famous guy in it. What was his name? I can't even remember his name. Blonde guy. Well, anyway, he was in it. It was just like a famous movie. And they made a big deal about Sobibor. And they escaped from Sobibor.
Rutger Hauer was in it. Yeah, Escape from Sobibor.
And so you go watch the movie, and oh, boy. And it's like nothing happened there. This is all just made up. Okay. So anyway, this is where we stand because, you know, you can't prove any of it. And they have a story that is just nonsense. And now we're stuck with Auschwitz. So basically, the only two camps now that they have the show is Auschwitz and Majdanek. And that's it. Those are the only two camps that are there at the show, because all the other camps have been completely destroyed. There's nothing there except foundations or whatever. And Majdanek, you know, they claimed almost 2 million people, 1.8 million people thereabouts. They claim 1.8 million people were killed in Majdanek and executed in gas chambers there, too. And now they changed that whole story. They claim that didn't happen.
Took it off the extermination.
Yeah, it wasn't. They say it wasn't an extermination camp.
Yeah.
And so look at all the numbers now that are getting whittled down. Remember, you had 6 million Jews they claim were killed in all the camps. Okay. They took Majdanek offline. That's almost 2 million. So knock 2 million off of 6 million. That brings you down to 4 million. You knock and then Auschwitz, they claim 4 million people died. And now then they claim the million died. So knock another 3 million. you're getting down to nothing.
You're going into the negative numbers eventually.
Yeah, it's like the most they can say that was killed, technically, it's not negative, but the most they could actually say is maybe 1 million people were killed in all the camps. In all the camps.
Maybe.
And that's even a very, very high figure.
That's a bit overstated, okay.
I mean, we kind of agree on that there was probably about 300,000, between 300,000 and 500,000 people that died in all the camps. And half of them were Jews, and they weren't murdered. They just died. And that's probably a high figure. I think that's a high figure. But I kind of like to use that one because we do know the American Red Cross said approximately 271,000 people died in all the camps that they were able to get into.
For all reasons.
So what I'm doing is I'm just adding, you know, just to add on to say, well, we'll give you a couple more just to make it round it off. So, you know, that's what I do with my figure.
Thank you, Uncle Murray.
If the Red Cross says 271,000, and if we want to bring in Treblinka and all these other camps of people just dying there, let's throw some more in. So between 300,000 and 500,000, that should give us a good figure. That's it. So the most is 350, 400, whatever the hell you want to believe. It doesn't matter what figure you use, but if it's over 300 and 300,000, half of them might have been Jews. And that's only a couple hundred thousand people. I mean, that's crazy. You know, they get 6 million, and it's really maybe a couple hundred thousand Jews died in these camps. Remember, there were more Christians and other Catholics and Lutherans and other people in these camps than Jews. So there you go. All right, move on, Miss Diane.
All right, this is dealing with the Jewish police. in German-occupied Poland and how much of an impact and activity they had in deporting Jews and their responsibility. One important issue to address is the fact that Jewish areas in Poland, where all the supposed extermination centers were located, were indeed policed by the Jews themselves. And this is often denied, and when acknowledged, always in muted terms, offers significant insight into the condition of Jews in Poland during German occupation. The Jewish police forces were structured units with their own uniforms, weapons. They actively participated in preparations and enforcement of deporting Jews to the east under the Action Reinhardt plan. In nearly all areas under Nazi control, where substantial numbers of Jews resided, Jews were organized into police units known as the Jewish Order Police. The size of these units varied, and in Warsaw, they comprised at least 2,000 men. And according to a Jewish encyclopedia, the inception of these Jewish police forces was due to the establishment of the Jewish ghettos. You've spoken about this before, Jim, which excluded the Jewish population from general police jurisdiction, and thus created a need for an alternative system of ensuring that the Jewish population complied with German occupiers' orders. And the German authorities mandated that Jewish police officers be young, fit, and have military training with a minimum of high school diploma. And they were to maintain public order and to enforce German orders conveyed by the Judenrat, or the Jewish consuls, to the Jewish community. Lots of pictures dealing with that. And so it was a very organized structure. They talk about it in muted tones because they don't want it to look like they were complicit with their quote-unquote their own death, essentially. The 6 million number was a cabal number during the time of the Tsar in the Soviet Union. He was accused of killing 6 million Jews in Russia. Okay. Furthermore, that this YIVO encyclopedia disclosed that some Jews perceived the formation of the Jewish police in a positive light. Certain intellectual groups even voiced their support. Jews became members out of societal reasons and a wish to uphold order in the ghettos and promote Jewish authority. Over time, the Germans increased the responsibilities of the Jewish police, assigning tasks such as combating epidemics, suppressing demonstrations, and tackling fires. At other instances, the police were responsible for overseeing food distribution, setting prices, and collecting taxes. It was viewed positively. Genuine surviving Nazi documents confirmed deportation program. The plans to deport the Jews to the Far East was in fact confirmed in a letter from Reichsführer Heinrich Himmler to SS Obergruppenführer Arthur Greiser. He was a Reich governor of Wartheland. I think that's in Poland. Anyway, the Führer wishes that old Reich and protectorate be emptied and cleared of Jews from west to east as soon as possible. And this also supported by a video interview with Reinhard Heydrich's wife about the plan to transport Jews to basically Siberia, to which either she or someone said, well, that sounds very cruel. She says, no, this part of Siberia is very pleasant, according to the understanding of that. I plan on deporting about 60,000 Jews from the Old Reich and the Protectorate to the Lodz ghetto, which, as I've heard, has the space to accommodate them. So the first step in the process was mapped out. Deportation of Jews from the Old Reich, that is Germany proper, to the east. No mention is made of extermination in this document, and only expulsion of Jews eastward, as in fact the case in all surviving genuine German documents. Two conditions, surviving and German, that qualify as genuine. The purpose of the Reinhardt camps, in conclusion, the location of each of these camps was chosen to be close to significant factory projects and in many cases large Jewish ghettos. These ghettos were not policed or surrounded by walls or barbed wire, as, for example, the Warsaw ghetto was. Instead, they were complete towns specifically created for Jewish resettlement. In mid-July 41, a Judenrat, that's the Jewish council, was established in Rara Ruska, which is a location near the Belzec camp. It was a ghetto. Similar settlement areas were created near all the other camps with the intention of moving the Jews further as the Soviet Union was conquered, further east. However, the plan to resettle the East with Jews could not be fulfilled due to the defeat of the German army in Russia. So further eastward movement became impossible, and increasingly the Jews in temporary settlement areas and camps were used as forced labor. Overcrowding, disease, and individual acts of brutality took their toll, resulting in the deaths of a significant number of Jews who had been moved east under deplorable conditions. There is, however, a major difference between deaths under these conditions and a deliberate extermination policy, both in terms of numbers and intent. In reality, the three primary camps, Belzec, Sobibor, and Treblinka, served as intake centers for the forced labor and resettlement programs, which were integral to the real Action Reinhardt program.
Okay, so again, revisionists, we have a problem dealing with people with this, because even some revisionists, Mark Weber, David Irving, David Cole, they believe that Jews were killed or executed in these camps. They believe that, honestly. Yeah. They really do, okay? Yeah. And it's not true at all right? So they can believe what they want. Again, they were transit camps. We have interviews with Jews who were in those camps, because remember, nobody should have survived if they were execution camps.
Supposedly.
But there were some people I've seen interviews that they said they were in there for a day, just a day ago. Yep. They went in there, they was able to take a shower, get cleaned up, and go to someplace else. But remember, they were trying to get, let's see, what does it say? Jim, you always say killed. Right. Well, did I say killed?
Oftentimes you do. You mean those who died of natural causes.
Yes, they were killed. They died of natural causes. But, okay, so anyway, it's just really, really crazy how they're making these camps up to be like they are, because they weren't what they say they were. And the Jews that have been interviewed, that I have seen the interviews, they say what happened. They said they went into the camp. They were there one day. They took showers. They got cleaned up, and they were going to get them into Russia. But the Soviets beat Germany in Russia, and so they had to get out of there.
They had to go back. They had to go back to the West. They couldn't go to the East anymore.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so that's what happened there. But they have to come. They got to use those camps to come up with these big figures, because if they throw out Treblinka, Sobibor, Medanek, then they lose.
There
all
goes
the big
numbers.
Figures. There
yeah.
goes the numbers. Okay.
Yeah, I see that.
All right, so we covered that. Henry's here. We're going to be talking to him. Again, that was the 6 Million Factor Fiction, folks. We're doing the best we can to cover that book as best we can. All right, Henry, welcome to our show tonight.
Hi, guys. Can you hear me?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Perfectly.
So how are you doing?
I'm doing okay, and I appreciated the email you sent me about people trying to infiltrate protest groups and then causing damage.
Uh-huh.
A lot of, one of the things even my attorney didn't quite get many years ago was that, when they talk about disobeying the law.
Civil disobedience.
Thank you. Civil disobedience, he says, includes the word disobey. And I said, we're not disobeying.
No, you're not. You're not.
You know, we cling to the law, and we protest within that limitation. So far, we're getting our way. Congress just passed a bill called the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act, and it's on its way to the Senate for, I guess, ratification or something like that. They're probably going after, the new definition of anti-Semitism.
It isn't new. They're going to probably use this UN's definition.
Well,
but
yes,
what they're doing is laying the groundwork for prosecution, as you
exactly.
know.
Exactly. Yeah. And guess who's going to be number one on the block, and
on
so
your block.
But I'm confident you guys can fund my my defense.
Like a can of truth is no defense, so any contribution we might have is going to be disallowed. Thank
yeah.
you. Yes.
We can see the news tightening, but in the meantime, we have to do what we do.
And keep it up.
We are
the truth.
So much. So today, nothing much happened. There are two parking places that I like to park at behind, by the synagogue, so then I can put signs on my windshield. of the car. And these two women in their little white SUVs, they get there very early and they park in my
spot. In your spot. Okay.
Yeah. And so they were out there today. They were chalking the sidewalk saying, "We love the Jewish people. Hey, Hamas, quit killing your gay members." Just ridiculous things on the sidewalk. And the woman was, well, the two of them, I guess, they were walking around taking pictures of our signs. And I said hello. I say good morning to everybody.
Yep.
And, of course, she ignores me. And that, you know, maybe it comes from my supremacist background. But it really annoys me when someone doesn't say hello back.
Yeah.
So I asked them, you know, I asked her, I said, "What do you think 30,000 children's deaths are worth it to give you guys a homeland?" Of course, that's all silence and stuff like, you know, she doesn't respond. Today was commencement exercises for graduating seniors from the University of Michigan. And I don't know if something happened inside the stadium.
Yikes.
There was a music school ceremony that was disrupted by students. But I wanted to talk, if I could, about these protests on the campus and how clever, this shouldn't surprise you guys, but how clever the Jews are, because they have taken over the opposition to the Jewish state, and they, of course, Jews control the Jewish state.
Yeah.
You know, so what they've done, very, and maybe I spoke about this last week, maybe not, but it's still worth repeating. They have, you know, the culprits of the Jewish massacre of Palestinians and slaughter are the Jewish people themselves.
Yeah.
The supremacist attitude is dealt with in the holidays they celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, in the synagogues, all the Jewish major organizations support this. And then you have Jewish Voice for Peace, this so-called peace organization trying to bring peace in Palestine. But what they're doing is cleverly diverting the people's attention from the Jews, who they want to protect, to these universities who refuse to divest. And they're making the universities be the bad guys. And then when the university says, "We want you to leave the campus because our campus isn't meant for camping out, and you guys got a compound, a campground here that's going on, and we want you to leave," and then they call in the police to enforce that request.
Wow.
Again, that's disobeying the orders. If I want you to leave my house, I don't have to have a reason. I just want Diane King out of my house. And if
right.
she refuses to leave, I call the police and they escort you out of my house. I mean, that's right. what's going on. But they are now, that they being the Jewish Voice for Peace crowd has said, see, the real enemy is the University of Michigan. And now since they're calling the cops, the real enemy is the cops, you know, when in fact they're shielding their own community, whom they should be holding accountable for their support of the Jewish state, which is committing a true genocide,
mm-hmm.
and a culture side against the Palestinian people. So, you know, they don't fool me, but they sure fool just about everybody else on the planet. Because everyone's saying, "Oh, look at those new Jews. They're doing such good work disrupting campus activities," mm-hmm. and calling attention to the poor Palestinians. Well, they don't give a, you know, they might care about the Palestinian people as people, but they sure aren't going to give up their Jewish state. And that's the rub. And that's the thing that really makes me want to, and I'd rather have, I think I might have said this before, rather have beer with Benjamin Netanyahu than with any one of these leaders of Code Pink or JVP or U.S. mm-hmm. campaign to promote Palestinian rights. Because the Jewish-led groups are just whistling past the graveyard. They're hoping people don't hear people like us saying, "Hey, it's the Jews." I mean, you know, who else created the Jewish state? U.S. imperialism, if you want
to
use
that term. That's right.
That term pissed off Adolf Hitler. if I remember from reading his book right. And it was like, and it pisses me off. It's like, it wasn't U.S. imperialism that created Israel. It wasn't British imperialism. It was the Jews that created
it. Yeah, no, that's exactly right. That's exactly right.
And so anyhow, that's my little grab for people. But there were, one fellow at our vigil and said, why don't you guys just hold up signs that say you hate Jews? You know, and he clearly was trying to infiltrate and you know, and so I said, hey, this is public property. You know, I don't control it. If you want to hold a sign that says you hate Jews or you want to kill Jews, do what you want, you know, but we're not going to, that's not our message, and we're not going to do that. You know,
that's right.
And those are the infiltrators I think that Jim was trying to warn me about today, and I appreciate it. You know, I remember a long time ago we had a little campaign to fly your cars in a shopping mall, and this one woman whom I knew brought a young man, and he said, why don't we key the cars as we go through the parking lot? And I said, whoa, and I told her,
whoa, that's right,
I'm out of here. You know, I don't want to be, you know, I don't, I'm too, I was too old then to run away from the cops, and I'm older now, you know, so I don't want to put myself in that position. And I think we're doing a pretty good job of towing the line. The sticky part's going to be when our beautiful government, our Jewish controlled government is, comes down with these laws that you can't criticize the state of Israel. And here we are with our signs criticizing Jewish behavior and everything. There's a there's a great article in UN's Review by Andrew Anglin talking about this thing called the sham called anti-Semitism, and it's just a tool the Jews use to deflect blame from their own activities. Some of us get it, and most of us don't, and that's the place.
What's interesting in this anti-Semitism thing is there is an overlap with the biblical teaching, New Testament, and so there every once in a while they'll throw in that, like talking about how the Jews killed Christ or were responsible, which is one of the verses removed from Mel Gibson's movie was. His blood be on us and on our children. The Jews made him take that out of his movie, The Passion. And so anything indicating Jewish complicity or guilt in the killing of Christ is going to be considered anti-Semitic. So you're going to have some overlap. Whatever the definition is, they're going to try to pull the New Testament into being critically examined and then eventually forbidden. I know that's their goal. I know.
Nobody wants to talk about Jewish behavior. They only want to talk about
Jesus had no problem talking about Jewish behavior.
Well,
the Jewish leadership.
Where is he, Diane? Bring him down and let him stand with me.
Well, that's why
he's here with us.
That's right. That's exactly right. We're to speak.
He sent
speak
us.
His words. That's right. He sent us. That's exactly.
I want to make a couple comments here. Okay, first of all, I sent that to you, Henry, because that's the way they're going to try to get at you. I'll guarantee it. They're going to try to infiltrate you, put crazy people. They might even come in and seem like they're nice, and they might agree with you 100%. But I wouldn't trust them. See, you always have to look at when somebody comes into your life. Okay, why are they coming into your life at this point in time? And what is going on here? And then obviously, it'd be nice to have some background information on some of these people. You really do.
Yeah.
But let's say this all goes through, and they make a big deal about this, and they start bringing people in. Remember, it's unconstitutional what they're doing. So if this ever goes to court, it's going to get thrown out. If it goes to the Supreme Court, it's going to get thrown out. There's no way that this is going to make it through any court system, that people are going to tell you can't talk about a certain group of people. Like if that happens, then we all might hang it up. I mean, it's because we'll all be in jail. Everybody, they'll be hauling us in jail by the thousands if they can get away with something like this. And that's why I look at this all as fear-mongering. They're just doing this to say they think they're going to be able to do this. They can't do this. It's impossible for them to do something like this. So I wouldn't worry about it.
It's impossible now.
That's right, at this point.
You get a Supreme Court that's loaded with...
I know, but this is... Well, here's the problem, okay? The problem is, that, you know, with the Supreme Court, because the Supreme Court, they're not really there to enforce laws, okay? They're there to back up the Constitution. So what they're going to have to do is violate the Constitution, which you don't think there's going to be people, even Jews, they're going to complain about that, because they're going to see that they violated the Constitution, and whatever rule they make against you is a violation of the Constitution. So if it happens, then you have to just throw the Constitution right out the window, and there's nothing. We have nothing backing us up anymore. So
I have to butt in. Jim, you're out of your mind. You're out of your mind.
All right. They shut down
the whole country. And they injected people against their will. There is no constitution. It's going to get worse and worse. We do not have freedom of speech. We are on the last remnants. You are out of your mind if you think the constitution is going to protect you or anybody else. Gone.
No.
Well, they made the decision to take away the constitution, but we didn't accept that. So
it doesn't matter.
So we're going to go for it.
Listen. Nobody. It's a joke. It's a joke. How many people wore a mask? All these, I love it. All these Second Amendment people don't come for my guns, but they got masks on. Nobody is standing up for anybody. We are circling the drain.
Okay, but that's not my point I was trying to make. My point I was trying to make is if that day comes, you have
it's already here, Jim.
No, it's not here yet.
Henry's not arrested.
You got to separate issues. What happened with COVID, what's happening here, two separate issues.
Because nothing
has gone to the Supreme Court or any judicial court.
The Supreme Court, that's a joke.
I understand. Listen to me. The COVID thing has not gone anywhere in court.
It has gone in court, and right now they have it going on. There are appeals going on in Massachusetts. There are things going on in the Fifth, the Sixth Circuit. I'm telling you right now, the Supreme Court is gone. It's a joke. All they're doing is placating a few cases as they tighten the noose around our neck. That's what's happening.
Well, nothing
left, Jim. Nothing.
Well, really?
I'm not saying there is. I'm just saying that we have to go to a lot more steps here to get it the way you're talking.
Not many. If you go and look at what they're trying to pass, you can't even go and speak out at a city council meeting or a town meeting without them bringing in the lawyers and the police and shutting you down.
Listen, I get it. I know that.
Go on.
Another thing I wanted to talk about is what's happening. I don't know if you're noticing this, but I'm sure you are. If you're noticing what's happening on the campuses, we're getting the anti-Israel people going to the campuses. Okay. Now here's the. I want to have a discussion about this right now, because how do you look at this? Do you look at it as a good thing or a bad thing that these people are going to the campuses to protest against Israel? Because, see, I look at it as a charade. I think these people that are going to the campuses are really not, they don't really give a shit about Israel or anything about anybody. They just want to cause a problem. Okay, they're going to cause a problem. All right, so that's my opinion on that. I'm just giving you my opinion first. So now what's happening is the cops are getting involved in this, and they're bringing the cops into these campuses to kind of like get everybody together and throw them in jail or whatever. And I think it's just a big ruse. I think the people that are going there to protest, they're not doing it in a pure motive. That's all I'm saying. I'd like to hear what you guys have to say about it, but whatever.
Well, I disagree with that. I think the protests are indeed homegrown, but the Palestinian protesters on campuses are being led and misled, in my view, by the Jewish activists that join them.
That's my point. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say, as a lot of these people, they're not doing with a pure motive. They get someone behind them. They've been infiltrated, like Vinny says. They've been infiltrated, and that's why the colleges and universities are getting really worried about this, because they don't want to have a riot in their campus. Because this is what's going to happen if they allow these people, the infiltration, to get in there. Because that's what they want to do. They want to cause
a riot, Jim. Jim, this is all staged. I know, but they want riots. You said they don't want riots.
No. Listen. The police don't want you to riot, right? They don't want to have that happen. Now, you're telling me, apparently you're telling me.
I'm telling you, the colleges are all run by the Jews, Jim.
Okay, but understand this. If the colleges want to have riots, then people aren't going to be going to the college.
Really?
So that's going
to
hurt them.
Of course they're going to go to college. It's not going to hurt them. Of course they're going to go to college. They want this so they can get massive attention for the Jews. They want it. They want death. They want murders. They want people beating each other up. They want this. That's what they want. They're not going to lose any money. What money are they going to lose? What do you think? They care?
Well,
they have a captive audience. They don't care.
I think it's going to be detrimental to the college.
How?
Well, I just explained to you. Look, they're starting to cancel graduations already.
What? They did it for COVID. So what? They bounced back.
But I'm just saying, there are some people that go to college that aren't crazy people. They
Maybe
go to college.
Five of them, Jim.
Oh, okay,
Maybe
okay.
Five.
Well, I'm just saying. So I think in the long run, they're cutting off their nose in spite of their face.
No, because it's all about optics and getting attention for Israel. That's what they want. You know why I know this? Because all of my crazy Trump friends send me all this stuff. Oh, my God, Hamas protests on campus. They
Hamas.
Love it. They love
Hamas.
This. This is
Hamas
wonderful.
Is Israel.
Exactly. People exactly. I don't mean to be, Jim, I don't mean to be argumentative, but I think in some ways you're naive when it comes to this stuff. This is all this is what they want. The Constitution has never protected us. Maybe you want to talk about the Bill of Rights, but even then, that's circling the drain. We're done, Jim. When you have Second Amendment, well, say guys, right? I have so many rounds of ammo in my house. I got 59,000 guns, and I'm wearing a face mask. I'm sorry, Jim. That's when you know it's over.
I do agree with you on that, but again, this is okay.
They're going to get up and speak for freedom of speech.
Oh, hold on here. Let me just explain something here. So, what I'm saying that this is called the Samson. What is the name for it?
Option.
This is the Samson option. This is what they're doing. Okay, they're going to bring themselves down in spite of it all. Right?
They're not going to get brought down.
If the colleges and campuses are going to be battlegrounds, that's not going to be a good place to be.
But it'll go away because they'll squelch it like they did with COVID, like they did with January 6th, right? Like they did with 9/11 when they put all those regulations in at the airports and the buildings. It's all another ruse to set up more of the noose around our neck. It's going to tighten and tighten and tighten. That's why they're doing it. They want this. They want it.
Well, that's true. That's why they're doing it, but that's not going to be the result. I tell you that.
I don't believe you there, Uncle.
Vinny, how do you feel about this? What's your view?
Okay, so my view is that the protests, however organic they may have started, they have been infiltrated to the point where they're not useful anymore to us.
Right.
They're not useful anymore to us. It's all staging. It's the Hollywood faction versus the war faction. And those guys are fighting it out and getting us into their stupid mess. We need to extricate ourselves from that nonsense and let them fight it out without hurting us. That's what we need to do.
Okay.
Like the truck convoy that was organic. Come on, people.
Diane, what is your viewpoint, Miss Diane?
I don't think that all of it. I think there is a timing on this. And by the way, may the 4th be with you. By the way, just
awesome
for today. It's just that I do see what Diane is saying. It is lost. It is gone. Right now, the Bill of Rights may be circling the drain in this regard, but it's still there. And they're still a little bit concerned about it. But it's just a matter of time before that gets backdoored out. And we've talked about that in regard, like how they're doing anti-Semitism, where it's going to affect the Bible. And you cannot have the New Testament because it's anti-Semitic. So, yeah, I don't doubt about the drama. They're talking about that with the police action. They're talking about Kent State. Henry, we talked about that before. I think that there's going to be a Kent State type of thing. That probably was also contrived, too, and scripted. Make it look, and what Diane, I think, was looking at for is it needs to be chaotic. And so if it's not, they can stimulate it to be chaotic. And if somebody's going to infiltrate your group, they're going to want to increase the chaos, the violence. They're going to talk more about killing Jews, hating Jews. That's how you know a person is infiltrated.
Okay. Henry, how do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, that, you know, I just to repeat myself, you know, I think that we want to keep those people out just because that's not the message we want to, you know, we want to bring Israel down. We want to bring Jewish power down in this country. We think the Jews should leave Palestine. We think the Jews should probably leave Washington, D.C. I mean, that's where all the problem is. You know, the sign I carried today was a question. It said, you know, are there, you know, Israeli members in our Congress? Or is Israeli citizens in our Congress?
Oh, yes. They're dual, at least about 100 in our Congress are dual citizens.
I would just like to know who has citizenship and definitive proof. I mean, I gotta believe that Chuck Schumer is an Israeli citizen, but I don't know that Chuck Schumer is an Israeli citizen, and I'd like to have that piece of information.
The proof is in his rulings.
They're not afraid just to tell you. They're going to tell you.
Right. Let me tell you this. Beth Israel Lahey Hospital in Massachusetts, Boston, right on the Brookline line, they terminated so many Christian workers. The CEO, I think his name is Kevin Tabb, at 18, he served in the IDF. Right? I mean, come on.
Their agenda is clear.
The thing is, the agenda is clear. It's so clear. Same thing with Mass General Hospital. She's from the tribe. I don't know. I couldn't get any information about if she has dual citizenship, but I'm just going to assume, Henry, that he served in the IDF, that he has dual citizenship.
I let people's actions speak.
He left here to go and serve in the IDF.
Who is this guy, Diana?
He's the CEO of the Beth Israel Lahey Hospital that terminated many, many Christians from their jobs because their religious exemptions were denied.
Wow.
So if you look at the hospital systems, who are the head of the hospital systems? Who are the heads of the colleges? Right? And the thing is, Miss Diane, you used the word concern. These people aren't concerned.
Oh,
they're 12,000 steps ahead of us.
What are you referring to?
They have no empathy.
Well, you had said something like that's, you know, they're concerned. They don't care. These people.
I don't remember saying that, but
they're not concerned.
About what?
They're not concerned about anything. They're not concerned about you, me, Henry, how we feel, what we say. They have so much power. They are not concerned.
Well, they do get concerned when you shine the light on them.
That's true. They get kind of nervous.
Okay, so my question, let's get back to this question. So would you say, the consensus here from us, would you say that all these protests are basically just to back protests.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say that.
Scripted.
Yeah, I would say that. Okay, so that's what's happening there. Okay, you it was, we're being set up here. That's what I'm saying. And I do agree with you, Diana, about we are lost. We have a problem here, okay? We do have a problem here. I understand that. And we're going to have to just play it out the best we can and just ourselves. We can't give up. We have to keep fighting. And if we have to go to a city council meeting and speak, we just can't stop. You know, Henry, he can't, you know, he continues on and he stops. I mean, if they want to arrest him, I don't think anything's going to bother Henry. But, we just can't stop. We have to just keep going the best we can. That's all I can say. You know, what's that?
Keep talking.
I'm just going to say, I'm not talking about giving up. It's just that I guess for me, and it's rare that I'm even opening my mouth on this program because I'm so disheartened when I hear even people who agree and believe the same things. When you, like, you know, and Uncle Murray, I'm not picking on you, but as if Candace Owen is like the thing between Candace Owen and Ben Shapiro, as if that's real. Like,
I know.
I get so disheartened by that. I just feel like that it's just like I don't even want to bother talking because it's so obvious to me how scripted everything is. I'm not saying give up. I'm just saying it makes it difficult to even want to have a conversation with anybody when you act as if not you, anybody acts as if anything like Jim, the Supreme Court, really, you think that holds any, everything's gone. It's gone. Well,
because we let other people take care of business. It's too late.
But, I mean, the thing is, it's gone. If we think in 1913, the Federal Reserve, 110 years, right?
It is 110 years, though.
And when I hear other people who you know, like Jim Fetzer or some other people like that, you know, talk about Trump, and I think, like, you guys should know by now that Congress and all that is gone. Like, so I just found this video. Somebody asked in the chat. So let me just play this. Kevin Tabb, President and Chief Executive Officer, Beth Israel Lahey. And just for the record, the Johnson & Johnson COVID shot was developed in part at Beth Israel Lahey Hospital in Boston.
Big bucks. Everyone mad. But I fell in love with taking care of people and decided that that was something that I really, really wanted to do right out of high school. I moved to Israel. Shortly after I moved there, went into the military to serve my mandatory military service. I was chosen to be a medic rather than actually having volunteered to be a medic. I feel in some ways like medicine chose me. I came out here from Stanford, Silicon Valley, but Boston is the Silicon Valley for healthcare. Boston is the Mecca. People come to Boston, to Massachusetts, from all over the world. Quickly became evident after I got here that we, Beth Israel Deaconess, as a medical center, as a small system, needed to do something that was different. And that meant coming together with a larger number of great institutions throughout eastern Massachusetts. The scale of this new system is pretty staggering. People are already coming and will continue to come from around the world to get care here. We're talking about bringing together 13 hospitals, over 4,500 physicians, 9,000 nurses, taking care of more than a million people. That's a really big system. Ultimately, though, it's not about the numbers. It's about what we will do with that. I'm seeing the excitement in the faces of people who work here every day, in the faces of people who come here and get their care. And we know that we will have been successful in 5 years' time if our patients tell us that we have made a difference in their lives.
I'm so touched.
That guy's
propaganda piece.
And I want to raise a point here.
I want to know what Henry thinks.
He's not a member of our Congress, is he?
No.
That was my sign. My sign was questioning... Israeli citizens in our Congress. I mean, he could head a hospital, I guess, and be whatever citizen of any country he wants, I suspect. But I think it's important that if you're going to join the government of my country, that you should be pure and allegiant only to our country, and not have a citizenship of Israel tugging at your sleeve, saying, "Is this going to be good for this country?" So that was the import of my sign. Maybe I didn't describe the sign.
No. I didn't see the sign, but somebody had asked in the chat when I mentioned it.
Yeah.
I just
was trying to differentiate between, people, yes, powerful people in our communities like this Kevin Tab is, but people, Congress is three times as Jewish, but what does that mean?
Well, this is about representation, isn't it? We're not being represented. We're not being represented.
I'm interested in that article there that I see you got there.
Now, this is from the Times of Israel, January 4th, 2019.
Do they list the number of U.S. lawmakers that are?
That would be 2019. There are more now.
It's 34.
They're almost 100.
And I bet a lot of them lie.
Yeah.
That's a good website. I'd like to see that and read that article at some point. So let me see.
There's plenty of places you can just put in dual citizenship.
Oh yeah, it's going to pop up some good stuff.
And they talk
I'll
put it in the chat, and you can just.
Yeah, I'll do that too.
Oh, Reese is here.
Oh, good.
Hey, brother.
I just put that in the chat. I just want to see what's on there.
Thanks very much. No, see, there is a problem. This whole dual loyalty, this has been an issue, and we simply just let the buck pass on this until it got to this point. Now it's untenable.
Who's going to stop it?
Well, we got to stop it.
How? Tell me how.
Oh, that's easy. Out them. Call them to account. Say why are you moving forward? Well, if you do it in front of a bunch of people, they'll all start to ask the same question, and then they will force the issue.
That's a bit naive,
Murray. I'm afraid.
Yeah.
But they are too afraid. I don't think it's helpful to think everything in the world is scripted. I mean, some things I hope are real. I hope Candace Owens is real.
She's not. Henry, are you out of your mind? Honestly, I don't want
to. Listen, you can't call me names and try to convince me that way, because people have been calling me names for 22 years.
Henry,
I can tell you right now, I ain't going to work.
How would she get a platform, Henry? How would she get a platform?
I'm not responsible for answering that question.
She wouldn't.
I'm not responsible. Why ask me that question? She has the platform. She was interviewed by Tucker Carlson for many, many times.
And so is he.
She may prove to be disappointing, like the former congresswoman from Hawaii turned out to be very disappointing.
Well, Tucker interviewed Diana, honestly.
Tucker Carlson is controlled opposition. Candace Owens is controlled opposition.
Show me. If that's your claim,
How come they have platforms? How do they have a platform and not get shut down?
I don't know. That's not my question. That's not my question, and that's not going to. That doesn't prove anything. You're saying that everything the Jews don't like is on TV, and they have to approve of everything. And in the main, I agree with you. I don't disagree with that. The people get voted here, but Tucker Carlson was fired. Now, doesn't that count?
How do you know he was fired and it wasn't just a ploy? How do you know there's no
red monkeys on the dark side of the moon?
I know, but Henry, how does somebody get...
You don't get
a platform, Henry, unless you're on... Tucker Carlson's father was CIA, right? You don't get a platform.
Wait a minute, right? I don't know that.
I'm telling you.
Well, he was.
What was his name? And show me the link.
Well, she'll do that.
Oh,
all I'm
can I address that?
Yes.
I'd like to address that.
Oh, go ahead, Reese.
Go ahead,
Yeah, I would like to say, Diane, as much as you are very smart, I would say probably Jim's better half. I don't think you're right here. And I'm going to give you a simple example. Just because Candace Owens was on a major platform does not mean that she's a opposition, controlled opposition person. I'm going to give the example I would give you is John F. Kennedy. Now, John F. Kennedy became the president of the United States, but he seriously opposed the deep state, especially the nuclear weapons program of Israel, getting into the Vietnam War, making peace accords with Russia, and on and on. So we cannot assume just because Candace Owens made it onto a major platform that she's just part of some, you know, playing out of a, you know, what would we call it, a false opposition candidate. I believe what happened with Candace Owens is, first of all, she did have a Jewish handler. We know that she was groomed by a Jew before she got on that platform. But I believe Candace Owens had a genuine epiphany. I believe she is a Christian, and she had a raising of her awareness to the point where she spoke out. And then she became a loose cannon, and they had to take her down. That's my take.
Yeah, the thing is, I don't think you can compare President Kennedy. How many years ago was that? 50, 60? You can't have a social media platform if you're contrary. I mean, how many times do we get shut down from Rumble? I mean, have you been shut down from social media, Reese?
Pretty much, yeah. I've been blacklisted from RBN for exposing Fetzer, for exposing
plant. So the thing is, I am probably one of the rare people. I do not believe that Tucker Carlson's on the up and up. I think it's to keep people thinking, right? It's like that Operation Trust.
Well, he's a manager. Right,
it's
he's
to
a
keep
manager.
People yes. thinking.
They're an actor. Which you're saying that they're actors.
Yes, they're acting. And the thing is, he's acting. She's acting. It's fake. And it's to keep people thinking,
Diane,
and to keep you in the spin cycle.
Diana.
Let me just agree with you about Tucker. I think you're correct. He comes from CFR. We know that he was a lifelong liberal in college. He was a leftist. He wore a bow tie, the whole bit. He changed. He was like the neocon Trotskyites. He was like a Trotskyite that became a neocon to become controlled opposition in the truth community. But I don't believe because Tucker did that we could project that onto Candace Owens. First of all, if you listen to Candace Owens speak, and I am very discerning with people, she is absolutely genuine. You don't get that with Tucker Carlson. You could tell that he's an actor, that he's controlled opposition. But I do believe Candace Owens, to agree partially with what you're saying, she would have never been on a major platform had she not had a Jewish handler that groomed her to become acceptable to them. But you know what it's like? It's like Michael Jackson. It's like Kanye West. They were given major platforms in the industry, in music industry, but Michael Jackson started speaking out, exposing Jewish control. He made that that famous song "Jew Me," and etc. And then they had to take him down. And I think that's what's happening with Candace.
Yeah, she's not going down. You know why? She's black and she has a white husband, and that's a perfect Kalergi poster child, right? So.
Yeah.
There's no way. Nobody's going to convince me that she's not an actress. Because I had the biggest Donald Trump group in the state of Massachusetts. The biggest.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't buy into that anymore. I was all into the GOP higher ups. The minute, I'll tell you one of the things that switched me. Do people remember Kayleigh McEnany?
Yeah.
Anybody remember Kayleigh McEnany?
Yes.
Cute, right? Adorable, right? Very articulate. She was like 30 years old. I interviewed her both in person and on the radio when I had my radio program before I got shut down. Okay? So when I interviewed her, I really believed her. Like, I believed her. She's this Christian. Then all of a sudden, she's on Fox. Then she's with DeSantis. And I'm like, what's going on here? Right? It's like, it's the epiphany of these people are acting. Right? They're acting. That's all they're doing. And they're keeping all of us hoping that there's somebody out there with the voice for us. I don't buy any of it. I buy you, Reese. I buy Henry. I buy Uncle Murray. I buy Diane. I buy Jim. I don't buy any of these people.
You know, Diane, I would agree with you on most of what you said, but I don't agree when it applies to Candace Owens. I do believe that there are some who genuinely become self-willed, and they rebel against the system. I think we could probably think of several politicians in our lifetime that did, and that were taken down for it. Steve Scalise, for instance. Do you think Steve Scalise is an actor? Do you think that when he was shot in that baseball field that those were fake rubber bullets, or was this guy really shot for speaking out?
I just want to know. I'm going to put, I have to put into an internet search, Steve Scalise. Wait a minute. No. Steve Scalise in Israel, right? Yes, I do. You don't make it to Congress unless you bow down to Israel.
No, that's true.
You don't.
Wait a minute. How about Cynthia McKinney and James Traficant?
Yeah, but she got the boot.
She didn't bow down. You said you don't make it to
she
Congress.
She did not
bow down
in how her long third
was
term.
How long was Steve Scalise? So you know what I think is interesting about this whole conversation, right? That all these people out there are being defended, right? Diana, you're wrong. But all these other people who have platforms, they're being defended. I find that very interesting.
Well, I'll tell you, the biggest disillusionment I had was with Donald Trump. I mean, first of all, when Ivanka married Jared Kushner and converted, you know, to the worst form of Judaism, the Chabad Lubavitchers, in which you have to renounce Christ, I couldn't believe that, because I always thought Donald Trump, even though he was like, you know, occasionally went to a church service, maybe on Easter or Christmas, he sounded very genuine. If you heard him speak at the Christmas tree lighting ceremony at the White House, I mean, it sounded as if he was absolutely genuine and speaking from the heart. And when his daughter married Kushner and converted to Judaism, and I'm hearing some rumors that Trump himself may have. Did anybody else hear that? That Trump may have converted
I believe
to
so.
Merely rumors. Yes.
So there's Steve Scalise right there.
What I'm saying, Diane, is don't allow yourself to be blackpilled. Because if you become blackpilled, then you think they control absolutely everything. And even if someone comes out as a shining luminary, you start... So, you know, you become cynical to the point where you shoot them down. And I don't want to do that with Candace. And as I say, I am very discerning with people. I could tell you a phony. I'm not
getting that. Did Candace marry a Jew?
No, supposedly he's a Catholic.
Oh, that's right. She's Catholic too, right? So I think, isn't she Catholic?
I didn't think
so. Who is this? Who is that?
Candace Owens.
Candace Owens.
I think
you know what? I'm not sure.
Well, we can check it, look it up or something.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Maybe, you know.
Okay. So the consensus is okay. We have to kind of try to see if we can agree with all this. All right. Diana feels that everything that you see going on is all run by the Jews. Everything's in their control 100%. Now, I tend to agree with her on a lot of that stuff, all right?
Me too.
Okay. I tend to agree with that, because you'll see that, you know, for anybody to be anywhere, whether it's the internet or regular, you know, TV, you know, mainstream media, you can't get there unless you have some Jewish backing or connection. That's my opinion. Okay? I mean, you can't. I mean, there's just... Now, you brought up Jim Traficant. But remember, Jim Traficant came on the scene probably going along with everything in the beginning, and then once he got in there, then he started seeing all the crap and all the corruption, and then he started getting red-pilled about everything. Okay, and then they
guess where he ended up.
And then they killed him. So yeah, I think right. I think the same thing was with McKinney.
Cynthia McKinney, yep.
She yeah. gets in there. She probably had help. Thought you got to remember, the Jews are going to put a black person in there no matter what. So they get this black person in. Then all of a sudden, oh boy, she's not on our side anymore. Mm-hmm. And then you know, they rail her out. They just That's get right. it right. So I right. think for the most part, people that get into the political arena in the beginning, if they got in there, they didn't know anything, and they were just going along with the program. But then when they got in, then they understood what the hell the program was, yeah. and that's what happens. That's what that's I say.
Well, you don't, instance, with, you don't get, I'm sorry,
you
go
don't
ahead.
Get the, you don't get anywhere unless the Jews are behind you. Let me it's just tell they control. There's nothing that they don't control that they can't come after you with. There's nothing.
That's right.
That's interesting. It's interesting because ask yourself, why do they have control of our election infrastructure? Why do they have control?
They do. They do. Control
election infrastructure.
Look at 2020.
They should not have control. Yeah.
They did.
It's ridiculous.
So, Reese, oh, yeah. I'll believe you, Reese. If Candace gets assassinated, then I'll believe you. But until then, I do not believe you. I'm just saying.
Well, Diane, I'm sorry to say you've been blackpilled. Don't become that cynical where, you know, the words, I am cynical. But I'm not cynical to that point where anyone who comes out as a truth teller or a shining luminary, that I'm immediately suspicious of them. I want to see some evidence that they are. If you could show me that there's evidence of Candace Owens being an actor, I would agree with it. And as I say, I'm being objective here. Donald Trump, I supported him in the beginning, but I could see now that this guy, first of all, he ain't too bright. All this, remember, he was playing four-dimensional chess. Remember that crap when things weren't going right? Everybody was rationalizing it. He wasn't playing 3D or 4D chess. He ain't that bright.
No, but he is bright. You know why? He's playing the game, Reese. He's playing the game. He has all the money, and he has all these people. Reese, I used to have videos that got millions and millions of hits. I got shut down on every social media platform, including LinkedIn. You know anybody who's been shut down on LinkedIn? LinkedIn. No. I can't get on LinkedIn. They shut me down. Right?
I was shut off out of LinkedIn before, Diana.
No, I can't get back on. I can't get back on. It will not let me back on. So I don't believe it. And I feel like what I feel like with stuff like with Candace is that they're false prophets and that people think that somebody like Candace is going to save them and be their voice instead of their own voice.
Now, I don't right. I think that's a bit much, but to allow them to express themselves.
You want to give a break?
Yes, let's do a break.
Well, look at, we don't have to do a break.
Yes,
we do. You want to do a break? Okay. Everybody just stay where you are. We got to do a break, okay? I got to make the girls happy.
That's
all right.
Right. We'll give credit where credit is due.
Well, everybody stay. CB, we're going to bring you in next. Don't worry. Okay? This is a really good discussion today.
Kids.
Henry had to leave. I'm sorry to see Henry go. But anyway, let's move on. Again, our show is sponsored by Speak Free Radio. We appreciate that. Money Tree Publishing is the place you want to go for books if you want to get some really good books. And what's that?
MoneyTreePublishing.com.
Yeah. And again, we do encourage people if they want to get the best of books out there. This is the place to go. And if you want to show all the books. We're getting new books. There's new books up there all the time. So there's that new book there, Siege, as you see. And there's the other books that you can get from the site, too. So, again, we're very appreciative that you, look and buy these books from them. If you have to get some good books, this is the place to go. 10% off if you use the word hoax. And that's pretty much it. Okay, we gave them...
they also have DVD series like Europa and the Greatest Story Never Told.
Okie dokie. There you go. The best books are on Money Tree Publishing, other than the Kodo site with all the Holocaust Handbooks books. This is probably the next best site to go to get our books, so that's good. Okay, let's get back to the conversation. CB, we're going to bring you in. What would you like to see? Is he there?
Hello, everyone. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, I don't have my headset tonight. I'm out of town, so I missed the first hour. I was playing poker until some brown goo.
As long as you were gainfully employed, that's fine.
Well, that's a whole nother one. I actually lost my job recently thanks to some DEI Negro who decided to zero in on. I was like the only straight white man working in the company. Yeah. Well, you know, I've already got some other stuff lined up. I'm sought after. You know, this is the thing with these people. I'm not going to denigrate black people here, but, you know, every time I work with a black manager, it's always the same thing. This happened to me when I worked at, I'm not going to name the company. I used to work, was one of the top sales reps in the Florida region for one of the most major auto insurance companies. Like, if I use the name, you would know exactly who they are. They're one of the biggest out there. Every time, this guy worked there literally like 3 days, and he zeroed in on me, and he fired me. Because I hung up on some Hispanic who not only couldn't speak English, but wouldn't answer my questions. And this was, and didn't give me any due process or anything. This happens every time. He's, and then he's trying to say that it's my fault that I'm not a people person. I mean, this is how these pieces of shit operate.
Yep.
Every time. And I was actually one of the top sales agents in the company, but of course I was like the only straight white male working there, so they have to make sure to get
ready. You had to go. Yeah. Ain't that something?
So this is the way it is.
They're looking for any opportunity to hate on Whitey. That's all it is.
That's true.
They cannot stand to see a successful. And by the way, you know, again, I'm not going to denigrate all, but my experience with black males, they're basically all raging narcissists. I'd be the goat. I'd be the goat, motherfucker. I'd be the goat. They're all the goat. You know, that's great football time. They all think they'd be the goat. So you gotta listen to that shit all the time. But I've got, like I said, I've got other offers already, you know, inbound.
Awesome.
I'm just kind of making a decision.
Keep us posted.
I definitely will. Brother. So I actually am going to respectfully disagree with Diana a little bit on this. So I think that probably Tucker and Candace Owens at this point are genuine in what they're saying. And the reason I say that is I've got relatives that are married to Jews. 20 years ago, they told me don't ever come to Thanksgiving again, anything. They basically closed me out of their lives because of what I was saying about the Jews and 9/11 and all that stuff. Now those same relatives are like calling me up to, you know, bitch to me about how bad their fucking Jewish spouses and the situation with they have, like, you know, Jewish kids with them and all. They are absolutely fed up. And it's not just over Palestine. It's how the Jewish arrogance, the Jews have destroyed this country, and it's painfully obvious even to these dumbass Christian dispensationalist assholes who still don't want to admit it, but they know. So people are fed up with the Jews and their bullshit. I mean, they truly have just – this is the thing with Jews. And I would tell these people this like 20 years. I said, the Jews are going to destroy America. They're going to destroy you. There's no decency in them whatsoever. This is why they're satanic. Even if you're not Christian, they're satanic – because they lack basic human decency. That's just how they are.
Well,
I'm sorry. Good,
Uncle. Well, CB, you can't satisfy a parasite, can you?
Right.
That's right, Uncle Murray.
They're fucking demented. You know, you could give them 1,000 miles, and they'll complain that you didn't give them 1,000,000. That's just how they are. So it doesn't matter what you do. So my opinion, and again, it's my opinion. Maybe I'm dead wrong. Maybe Diana's right, and this is all acting going on. I think Tucker, at this point, he kind of feels like he has to speak out against them because they've done everything to try to screw him over. I think also that's the case with Candace Owens. You know, and it shows you, like, look at what they did to stupid used to be the mayor of New York, Giuliani. Now, Giuliani is still carrying water for them. He was on an interview with – I can't think of her name right now. She has a BitChute channel. She's got that one of those annoying like Minnesota accents, Sarah Westall. Okay, so he was on with Sarah Westall recently, and of course he was saying that the Palestinians are all so evil and blah blah blah. He knows damn well that Israel and the Jews have thrown him under the bus, and all of his problems, it's the Jews that are behind him. But that's how scared he is of them, that he's still going to continue to toe the line for them. But I think Candace Owens is happy because this is what Jews do. They mistreat everybody. I've known people that they worked for Jews, like in law offices and things like that. They were getting paid six-figure salaries, did all the Jews' dirty work, cleaned up their dry cleaning, you know, made appointments for them. Whatever the Jews did, they wanted from them, they did it all. And then the Jews had no problem turning around and firing them, not giving them any severance, no reference, nothing like that. They're just fucking creeps, and that's how they are. So
I disagree. They would shut them down. They wouldn't allow them to have a platform. That's my point. But it wouldn't allow them.
The Jews can't control everything. Look at what look what happened to John.
Platform is Candace on?
She's not on anything really right now, other than her own stuff.
Like what?
I think of it this way. Hey Diana, if they're in control of everything, us messing everything up makes them do script rewrites, which are even worse. So I say we just keep doing it.
The Jews aren't as smart as everybody thinks they are. They're more clever than anything.
Right.
I mean, that's
somebody put this in the chat. Mm-hmm. Tucker Carlson would travel with the CIA social engineering group, the Grateful Dead. Where is Tucker Carlson? Where is he now? I don't know where he's on.
You mean like where he's living or where?
No. Like, how does he get his message out?
Oh, he streams on X. He's got a successful platform on X.
On Elon Musk. Yeah. Oh, right. Okay. Right. Yeah. Uh huh. Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, but Diane, what's his brother Lucas Gage is on there?
Whatever.
The Jews can't shut everything down. You know that. Why do you think they want to do scanners?
I just think it's very sad. I think it's very sad. That's all I can say. Very sad.
I disagree with us. That's fine.
I want to quote to add a little weight to the menace of the Jews. I just like to quote what Cicero said about them, where he said the Jews belong to a dark and repulsive force. One knows how numerous this clique is and how they stick together and what power they exercise through their unions. They are a nation of rascals and deceivers. And I think in another quote he said, Voltaire said that they one day might destroy the human race if left unabated.
That's the Samson principle they were talking about.
Samson option, yeah.
Samson option.
See, and let me say this about these Christian Zionists, because I debate them. I've challenged pastors and priests right inside their church on these subjects. And what they think is this. Well, we'll just be quiet, because once the Jews, let's say their agenda with LGBT goes through, they'll leave us alone.
Oh.
They don't realize that they'll never stop.
Yeah. You know?
They'll never stop. Never.
And remember what that famous quote by J. Edgar Hoover about the American people has not come to realize the enemy, you know, that exists within. And he says that that enemy must destroy all, not some and not most, all that remains that is good and decent. And this is a guy with, 30 years plus heading the FBI. He knew what he was dealing with.
Because they dealt with him. Yes, they dealt with him. They had him under blackmail. So,
yeah, right.
No, we got a pernicious problem. It's not going to be easy to take care of this, but we got to take care of it nonetheless.
Well, the thing is, because again, I'm very cynical about how things are, and I kind of like just get away from it all. I'm not near any of it, and Diane and I are away from everybody, everything, and I just watch the whole thing collapse. I mean, that's what it's doing. It's just collapsing. Yeah. The thing is, if we, I don't want to give people the view that any politician or anybody getting in there is going to solve our problems. But I think we just have to just be in it individually, just making sure we're doing what we're doing is right. And there's nothing we can control here. Nothing, in my opinion. I mean, you can't control the Fed. You can't control what's going to happen economically. You can't. There's nothing. You know, when people say you could do something, it's like, what can you do? I can't do anything. Nothing. Right,
that's not our focus. Our focus isn't to change or improve or redeem. Ours is to expose.
Right. I mean, that's how I kind of look at success. What is success? People say to me, well, Jim, you know, if it's all so bad and all doom and gloom, then what do we have? You have yourself. You have yourself. You got, you know, the truth. Help other people to learn the truth. And that's all you can do, is just educate people on what the truth is and just move on to another person. You're not going to politically save the world. You're not economically going to save the world. You're not going to do anything to save the world. That's but you can show people, you know, you can show people what's wrong. That's what you can show them. And as we might not know what the 100% truth is on whatever topic, but we know what's wrong, and you expose the wrong, and what happens is everything, the wrong and the truth is in the same room. So now you expose the wrong, and all the wrong is leaving the room. Okay, then eventually you're going to see truth. That's how I look at it. I don't care about, you know, oh, Jim, you got the solutions to the world problems. No, I don't.
No, we don't. We don't claim to. What is our focus?
Well, what is truth? Right. I mean, it comes down to what, like Jesus said to Pilate. Of course, some people don't believe in Jesus. But
Pilate said to Jesus.
Well, Pilate said to Jesus, what is truth? What was Jesus' reply?
He didn't answer him.
Okay, because how's he going to reply?
Well, he is the truth. That's been his message.
The whole point.
The truth was standing right before.
Right, but truth is also subjective.
Exactly.
Truth is subjective. Facts are not, and that's the whole thing. These assholes come up with all good. Now, truth all depends on your perspective and what the way you view things. One person's truth is another person's lies or, you know, opinion or whatever. Facts are fact. This is why they're trying to obfuscate the facts all the time, because they don't want to deal in facts. That's why, like, they don't want to give a platform to somebody like Jim, who shows the facts about the Hollow Hoax, because then they'll lose the debate, or that piece of shit.
I noticed that. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, well, Dennis Prager is a prime example. He will never debate anybody on how bad the Jews are and all the shit they did. Because they'll lose.
Yeah, I mean, that's the bottom line. If you, it's just like me on my BitChute channel. You know, I lose a lot of, I know I lost a lot of Catholics because I just told them about the church. And I exposed to, you know, these things. Look, religion's bad, folks. Okay, that's all I can say. Religion, there's a big difference between...
You're talking about mainstream churches.
Right. Diane, please, I'll explain this. Don't you worry.
I hope so.
Religion is bad because religion is from the devil. Understand that. Religion is man-made from the devil. Spirituality, that's something you get from God, or your relationship with God. All right, that's all I can say, whatever that is.
Exactly right.
Okay, I mean, I can't tell you what your relationship with God is because I don't know you, and I'm not here to judge you. You have to come to your own conclusion on that. But I will say this in regards to CB, what you said. There is truth. You know, there is truth. Okay? It's just a matter of, you know, you have to look at where you are in relationship to it, because some people are at a point that they can't accept the whole truth because of where they are. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you don't know what I'm saying.
No, you're absolutely right. Well, it's like in Star Wars. Well, if anybody's Star Wars, there's that part where Obi-Wan, I'm going to get geeky here for a second. That's just what we
say there, brother.
There's that scene where Luke Skywalker confronts Obi-Wan about, he said, you said that Vader killed my father. And he said, well, you know, when Vader was born.
Oh, point of view. That was such a lame way of responding to that, I'm telling you.
Well,
he could have done a lot better than
that's true. But the message is, he's saying, from a certain point of view, that's true. So, I mean, it was weak on his part. He should have just told the kid the truth. But it all has to do with perspective. I mean, everybody sees things differently. It's how the truth is how you interpret the facts. These people
don't know the message. 6 million did not die in the so-called Holocaust. That's a fact. There's no opinion there at all. It's a fact.
Right, right. That's the fact of it. Exactly.
Let me just ask a quick question. I'm just looking at Candace Owens' husband, George Farmer. So recently, Candace converted to Catholicism.
That's what I heard. Yeah.
I thought so.
And her husband was or is CEO of a company called Parliament, P-A-R-L-E-M-E-N-T Technologies, which is the parent company of Parler.
Oh,
right.
So okay, I don't know.
Media. That's a social media. Yeah.
Who else is involved in Parliament Technologies? I don't know. I'm climbing up the ladder there. But
so she's got some heavy lifting kind of support there. That's what you're saying.
You know, And by the way, Jim, I just want to let me stir up the pot over here, because I'm on both sides of the Catholic Church and the Christian faith in general. I won't go into the whole, let's keep it brief here, but let me just say this. It has only been the Catholic Church that has helped, that has held Jewish corruption in check over the centuries. There was no group of secular humanists, Buddhists, free thinkers, philosophers, etc., that was able to keep Jewish perfidy in check. It was edicts of the Pope. It was the Pope that collaborated with the Christian, the Catholic monarchies of Europe that got them booted out of countries 109 times. And I ask you this question. If the, let's say the Catholic Church, you could say Christianity, is not really, has no real power, then why is it in the protocols that they specifically name and target the Roman Catholic Church? They don't say, oh, the Catholic Church is just a creation of the Romans, you know, controlled opposition group, or to keep people under mind control. Why is it that they were targeted by these uber powerful Zionists that put this together, the protocols, that the Catholic Church was enemy number one?
Well, they took care of that by infiltrating. So they neutralized the Catholic Church.
That's why I say it's complicated, because there's the Catholic Church centuries ago, and then there's the completely infiltrated and corrupted Catholic Church under Pope Francis, and even before Pope Francis. But the Catholic Church now is basically, you know, Protestant light. It's really not much different at all from Protestantism.
There's no power. It's the lukewarmness.
It's Jews walking around in Christian clothing. That's all it is.
Well, I think
now it is.
Now.
Because Francis was appointed by a group of Jews, the St. Gallen group. And the St. Gallen group goes all the way back to Karl Marx. When Karl Marx stopped in Switzerland before heading on that train to Germany, he stopped in St. Gallen. And that's where these people have their origins. So they've been basically plotting to put in a imposter pope for quite some time, and now we have it with Francis, who basically, unlike the Catholic Church under, let's say, King Baldwin in the past, that brought about a crusade against the Muslims taking over cities throughout Europe, Pope Francis is opening the gates of Vienna and allowing the flood in, you know, and the list goes on and on. So that's their man. So they've essentially taken down the Catholic Church. And so now, believe it or not, I was attending several old traditional Catholic masses, and I found out that that movement has now been taken over. It's a long story, but it's been infiltrated as well. So they've taken down their last enemy.
Right, but Reese, here's the thing, okay? The Catholic Church was infiltrated, you know, like maybe 50 years after Christ. That they didn't come into existence until
they weren't existing 300 years. So
300, technically speaking, 600.
Fourth century.
I'm just saying that the Catholic Church, even if you go way back when they first got going, they were apostate then. I mean, if you ask me, you know.
Well, we don't want to open up that whole religious debate here. Let's not go into like doctrine or anything. I will say this, though. The Catholic Church is the institution through which the great scientists of the Enlightenment era, that they almost all of these great thinkers, mathematicians, physicists, philosophers, discoverers, the Jesuits who basically taught farming in all the countries they went to down in South and Central America. So they did a lot of good over the centuries. And as I say,
we're not buying that one, but okay, go ahead, Reese.
All right. No, we can discuss it one day. I don't want to open it up right now, but I will tell you this. The Catholic Church, it's true. If you look at who the scientist was, Bernoulli, the origins of calculus in physics, almost all of them were devout Catholics. So my question to you is, if the Catholic Church is nothing but a contrivance of Rome, let's say, as some people might have you believe, why is it that the Jews that were behind the protocols of Zion targeted only that church for destruction?
Well, there's two reasons I would give. One I would give is it's a framing narrative like the current Civil War narrative that they're trying to promulgate to get us all to re-perform this stupid action from World War II, right? Because that's all he knows, one trick pony. So they do the same thing over and over again. Now, the other thing is a segue into my thumbnail. I know I came in with a weird one this week. What it was is I saw something on, hey, 17 million people have been dead by the COVID shot, guys. They reported this on some warning program. And what they do is they're praising the science. So I remembered this. You can do this live. Go to Google Translate. Translate the word scientific. Break it up into three syllables. It's four syllables, obviously. Scientific. And I was going to see it as Italian, change it to Latin, and it was going to tell you, no, that it is fiction. They just made up all this crap to fool you with garbage. Anyone who got that shot, anyone who went and got that shot thought they were doing something smart, you were not. You were absolutely not.
Yeah. And who is leading this? Pope Francis was issuing statement after statement affirming that all Catholics should receive this clot shot.
All the higher ups in the Catholic, the whole College of Cardinals, they all have had to take it, supposedly. That's what Father Paul Kramer was telling Rents last night.
Yeah, I missed it. I listened to a little bit of it, but I want to hear the rebroadcast.
Well, yeah,
the Catholic. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying, I've researched the Catholic Church thick and thin, and to me, the Catholic Church is done. It's just another, right from the beginning. It was just an arm of Satan right in the beginning. Because, and here's why I say this, because Satan has to use an angel of light to get truth out. That's what he does. He uses the angel of light, which is the Catholic Church can be doing good. They can be doing good because people doing good can take people down another road. All right? And that's,
but let me go above that authority, the words of Christ himself. You know, Satan cannot oppose Satan, right? A kingdom against itself would collapse. So based on Christ, there's no higher authority than Christ. And I understand there are angels of light, but the devil would not be using an institution that openly praises and kneels before Christ and the cross. That would not be the case.
Well, I do. I'm going to tell you why I disagree. I can't remember where the account is. I think it's in the book of Acts. I'm not sure. But there was a case of a person who was expelling demons, but he wasn't with Paul or the apostles. He wasn't with them. He was expelling the demons, but he was expelling demons.
Yeah, okay. Right.
Well, the point is, he wasn't approved by God to expel those demons, but he was expelling the demons. So who was this man who was expelling the demons? Was he a demon?
Probably not.
But why would you assume that?
Well, no. Well, I'm just saying.
What are you asking?
What's that? Someone say something?
In other words, Mike, let me say this. I think, for instance, that there are those. I am not some Catholic apologist that just defends the Catholic Church. You're not talking to E. Michael Jones here. So I would say this, that the Catholic Church was the vessel that carried out the Great Commission. Now, I ask anyone who wants to, you know, talk down the Catholic Church, will explain to me who carried out the Great Commission, unless you're saying Jesus was a liar and there would be no propagation of the gospel throughout the earth. The Catholic Church was the institution that brought the gospel.
No, we don't think so.
Hold on.
Well, who was it then?
Hold on, Diane. I do agree with him there. Let me explain why. You have to understand how God works. God will use, he'll get the stones to cry out to get his will and purpose done. Yeah. When you think about all the nations that conquered Israel, they were pagan nations. He will use pagan, corrupt, bad people to accomplish his will. And I really think that's what he did with the Catholic Church. I think he used the Catholic Church because the Catholic Church had to be, someone had to be, the ones who are going to take all the biblical information, all the catalogs, all the papyruses, all the writings, they had to get it all together in print, eventually print form, and they had to be the overseers of it. I agree with that. But see, God had to get somebody to do it. Catholic Church, I think the Catholic Church was the one that was that job.
Jim, but, you might agree with me. Go ahead. I'm going to respond. Well, you might agree with what I have to say, but go ahead.
I'm just saying. I agree with what you're saying. But the Catholic Church was bad. He used a bad group of people to accomplish something good because they eventually turned against him. And who were the first ones to persecute the first century Christians? I mean, not the first century, because it was way later.
It was Jews.
No, it was the Catholic Church.
Jews were first, but the Catholics came later.
It was the Catholic.
The Catholic Church wasn't around in the first century.
No, we're not talking about the first century.
I'm talking about the first century.
I'm talking about the Catholic Church were the ones that persecuted the Christians at the time when the Catholic Church was going. They're the ones that came after these Christians.
The true believers. So,
They were used by God to accomplish something, yes, but way later, with like I told you, this I'm talking now, you're talking, you know, 1,000 years after Christ, 1,100, yeah, he used them to get all the stuff together, catalog it, get it all packaged and good. But they were the ones also that persecuted and killed Christians.
True believers.
Well,
true believers.
Yeah, but hold on. Listen, I know what you're talking about. You're going to say the Inquisitions, they killed people in the Inquisition.
Well, that
but
was
remember
Spain,
this.
Says. We're talking about,
let me just say this, Jim. You might agree with this. God, you would not disagree that God used the nation of Israel in the Old Testament, as imperfect as it was, and that's a nice way of putting it. It was very corrupt in order to produce the Messiah. So God used a group, an institution, the 12 tribes of Israel, that led up to the Messiah, despite the fact that it was deeply flawed. I think that's the same case with the Catholic Church. And I'll tell you this much. If it wasn't for the Catholic Church, all of us right now that are on this broadcast would all look like Egyptians. You know why? Because your ancestors would have been raped by invading Turks and other Muslim clans that invaded Europe. It was only the Catholic Church that held back the flood of Islam.
That's,
you know, that's what my point is.
No, I agree. Listen, but understand.
A brief point. God, a lot of information that shows that the Catholic Church was instrumental in creating Islam. Also, they, like Muhammad's cousin, was known to be like a devout Catholic. That
wow.
Was
I don't know.
Well, you know what?
From Eric Phelps. Did you read that from Eric Phelps?
I don't know if it's from Eric Phelps, but there's a lot of information out there with a lot of different things.
Does anybody want to talk about George Palmer?
There was a lot of Jews and Catholics.
Does anybody want to talk about George Palmer?
We'll get to it. Let's get to it. Okay. We'll put the religion aside for a minute here.
So I just did a quick, you know, so this guy, George Palmer, that is Candace's husband. They were physically together four times before they got married. They got married whirlwind 8 months after first meeting. He's a gazillionaire. He went to Oxford. His father's a financier. He belonged to some club at Oxford, bowling something or other, some little private male. Is Oxford for men and women?
Yes, it is. Well, we know that because Bill Clinton raped a woman at Oxford.
So he was the former chairman of the Turning Point UK, another Zionist organization. I'm just saying. His father had a hedge. So after college, after Oxford, he got a degree in theology. And what I read is that he converted to Catholicism from what I do not know yet. But so his father had a hedge fund company called Red Kite. Red Kite. So anyway, so they had a big wedding. They're onto their third kid already. They had a big wedding, I guess, at Trump's winery. Trump's wine is pretty good, actually. I've had it before. But there was something that he belonged to this group in Oxford. I can't find it. But he grew up very rich. He was in elite circles, banking industry. 2018, they met at a Turning Point Zionist organization, which is what it is. And then 8 months later, he said, would you spend the rest of your life with me over FaceTime?
Okay, so is he Jewish or not?
I don't know.
Because Farmer is Anglican. Farmer is a Jewish name. I've heard Jews associated with that name. So just my gut feeling, he's Jewish. Okay. Well,
he belonged to a club called Bullingdon. Bullingdon was an all-male dining club that included infamous members like David Cameron and Boris Johnson. That's all I'm saying. Mm. So anyway, that's the story. That's all.
Okay. Well, I mean, it is interesting. It is interesting to see what's going on there with her and him, because she's all set up for life. She doesn't have to worry about anything anyway. I mean, what does she have to worry about?
It's probably a sham marriage, too. Just, you know, I don't know if you guys realize, a lot of these British establishment types, they're all homosexuals, mostly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's looks so like probably a sham marriage.
Yeah, he does look like
they
a homosexual.
They usually are.
He does.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
it's the elite school they all go to. It's a preparatory school. They all bugger each other and eat.
Oh boy!
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt. Diane, I thought you said that it was Red Kike. I was going to say, my God, he really nailed it. Red Kike.
I know. But you know what?
When well, you think, are red, aren't they?
When you think of Red Kike, you red immediately Lake. Think of Red Shield. That's what I think of.
Right, right. So,
but he came from a banking family. Something smells. If it smells like this, it is it. That's all I'm saying. Yeah.
Well, here's my thought. Have you ever thought that he was in place to set her up? You know what I mean?
I think it was a set up marriage because she's black, he's white. It's the whole blurry thing.
I understand this, okay? Things just don't happen.
Exactly.
Okay. She's a famous person. They see where she's going.
They made her famous.
Right. And then all of a sudden, this happens. Things just don't happen. I think a lot of things in life happen because, in other words, she's brought into the thing here now.
Right.
All I can tell you is that when I was in high-level GOP circles, with all these Christians around me, the homosexual influence was through the roof. And all these good Christian women, goo goo gaga, and all it was filled with homosexuality. And so, it's no surprise that, what, a year ago or so, Trump had that big homosexual thing down in Mar-a-Lago. In my opinion, when it comes to Candace, right, that's her. She's the poster child for the Kalergi plan for the right wing. That's right.
Well, no, I agree. I think there's more to this. This wasn't just a little meetup they met one day. I think this was all set up to happen that way with her. She don't even know it. She probably doesn't even know it, that this is what happened. She's a bad person. I just think she's what's going on here?
She's snoring at you.
Well, you know why? Why?
You know, I would.
Yes, she knows this.
I would just say that things are dark enough right now, where I don't want to blackpill people. If someone at face value seems to be genuine, she's doing good work, she's challenging Jewish power, until proven otherwise, I want to side with her. That's just my position on Candace Owens.
I say we run with it. Right. We run with it regardless.
Eyes wide open.
I don't. Yeah. I say away with all the false prophets. That's all I'm saying.
There won't be anybody standing if you have your way.
When I go to family functions, that's all they talk about is Candace Owens.
Leave
the room.
Because they're ill-informed, Diane. That's how Mormons operate. They don't know shit from Shinola.
That's right. But that's right.
They should be championing you anyway. They should know your facts are better than hers.
I don't talk anymore.
Well, my grandpa, like when I was trying to tell people this about Trump, that Trump is full of shit. I voted for him in 2016 because I felt like he was coming from a point where he was trying to look out for his own interests, if nothing else. But people don't understand. Well, like my grandfather knew Trump's father, okay, back in the 1930s, because my grandfather was a mid-level manager of construction in New York. He knew Fred Trump. He said Fred Trump was nothing but a crook who built piece of shit fire traps all over New York City. Broke every building code you could imagine. You cheated. And then when Trump built a lot of his stuff, especially the Taj Mahal, he ripped off. I mean, all those contractors to this day, they never got paid their money. Yep. The air conditioning system never worked properly. All those like tables and the chairs and all of that shit. He ripped them all off. These people are all crooks. These business people.
No, that's how it is. And another thing about Trump, he's not as rich as you think. Okay, I think that's all a bunch of bullshit too. He comes off like he's a billionaire. He's not. He's probably a millionaire, no doubt. But he's not. He probably owes more people money and credits his money than anybody. But he comes off like he's got all this money. I don't think he does.
He's not getting EBT.
Right.
Okay, listen. Now, he did say one good thing. Let me say this real fast. He did say one good thing, that, you know, if you steal diamonds and you get caught, you don't get to keep them. That's what these freaks don't understand. You got diamonds and you don't get to keep them. You got to give them back. Thank you.
Yeah.
What do you give them back to?
To us. They're our diamonds.
Sure.
Diamonds are a big
deal.
They're actually worthless.
All right, listen, we're really at the end here because we're playing a video. It's going to be 3 minutes. It's going to take us up to probably the time ending of the show. Okay. So I want to thank everybody for being on. This was a really good conversation. Next week, maybe we could take it on to the next level, however direction we want to go, and see where it goes from there. But thank you, everybody, for being on. This is Owen Benjamin. You can have your opinion about him too, but he comes out with some good information every now and then. He's a good singer, and he has some good songs he put together. And I thought I would leave our show with him singing this song here. And that's pretty much it there for that. Okay, so thank you, everybody, for being on. We'll see you next week, and we'll go from there. All right, let's play it.
How they do ya? I heard there was a grabber plot to influence your every thought.
Thank you.
But you don't seem to like conspiracy, do ya? There are Jews in power everywhere, but you can't let your mind go there. You're blind to them, and this is how they do ya. How they do ya. How they do ya? How they do ya? How they do ya? Their tales were sad, but you wanted proof of Anne Frank hiding in her roof. They said you're so full of hate, and how dare ya? Your inquiry was called a sin, but they never answered your question. So there's no proof, and this is how they do ya. 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 There was a time when you thought you knew that right was red and left was blue, but now you don't see no difference, do ya? Each congressperson, red or blue, has been blackmailed by a Jew. They're all corrupt, and this is how they do ya.
Oh, it's in the day.
How they do ya? How they do ya? How they do ya? Well, Netanyahu has called for war. He lied to us on the UN floor. Fear Saddam was planted and it grew ya. He stained America's good name by killing who was not to blame for our own fears. And this is how they do ya. 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 How they do ya.
Yeah.
Okay, everyone, thank you. We'll see you.